Psalm 116, and these are God's word to us this morning. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray now in these moments that you would help us to focus in on you and on that word, that you would speak clearly to each one of us through that word, to speaker and to listener alike. Father God, encourage us this morning from your word and challenge us in our worship of you. Speak clearly to your children now, we ask, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is told of a young German soldier in a dirty, blood-stained uniform standing on the firing step of a trench during World War I. It was an early summer afternoon, and the battlefield was quiet, unusually. The young soldier had a wistful, faraway expression upon his face. Suddenly, a butterfly fluttered into view, alighted on the ground almost at the end of his rifle. It was a strange visitor to a battleground, so out of place. But it was there, a gorgeous creature with wings like gold, splashed with carmine, swaying in the warm breath of spring. As the war-weary youngster watched the butterfly, he was no longer a private in a drab grey uniform. He was a boy once more, fresh and clean, swinging through a field in sunny Saxony, knee-deep in clover, buttercups and daisies. That strange visitor to the frontline trench recalled to him the joys of his boyhood when he had collected butterflies. It spoke to him of days of peace. It was a symbol of the lovelier things of life. It was the emblem of the eternal, a reminder that there was still beauty and peace within the world. He forgot the enemy. He forgot the enemy a few hundred yards across no man's land. He forgot the danger. He forgot the deprivation. He forgot the suffering. He forgot everything as he watched that butterfly. He reached out toward the butterfly, his fingers moving slowly, cautiously, lest he frighten away this visitor to the battlefield. But showing one kind of caution, he forgot another. The butterfly was just beyond his reach. As he stretched further, he forgot that watchful eyes were watching for a target. He brought himself out slowly, with infinite care and patience, until now he had only a little distance to go. He could almost touch the wings of that beautiful butterfly, so lovely were they, when a sniper's bullet was heard to ring and found its mark, those stretching fingers relaxed, then dropped to the ground. For the private soldier in field grey, the war was over. Risk is always involved when one reaches for the lovelier, finer, more fragile things of life. And that, friends, is what worship of God is. Reaching for the beautiful. Worship is forgetting everything else and being drawn to worship the most beautiful one, focusing in on him and praising his name. And so this morning I want us to think a little on worship this morning. I want us to think about that as we're thinking of our vision statement, that new statement we have that says that we want to be demonstrating God's love in action in the community of Cornton. And underneath that vision statement, underneath the old vision statement, as a church we had a number of things we were committed to. And so we continue to have those things that we are committed to under this new vision of demonstrating God's love in action. And with that in mind, we are committed to being a worshipping family, meeting with God to praise and to honour him. We are a people who gather week by week to reach out to God to bring him our praise and our worship. We are a worshipping family. But what does that mean? What are the reasons for worshipping God, and what are the results that flow from our worship? To consider this fully, let us use the psalmist who I think writes most on worship in the scriptures. He is forever praising the Lord despite his situation, despite the circumstances he finds himself in at times. Psalm 116 is one of many great psalms of praise. So let's look there this morning and see what we can learn about being a worshipping family. First thing to consider then is the reason for worship. There is a reason for everything that we do. We go to work because we want to earn or need to earn a living. We buy food because we need to eat. We go on holidays because we want a break. We want to enjoy some sunshine. We go to school for we have to. We go to school for we want to learn. We go to university because we want to learn a little bit more. We buy new clothes because we want to look dapper and swell and nice. We do all of these things for good reason. But what about worship? Why do we worship God? Why do we want to bring him praise and honour? When the Westminster Catechism was written, we were reminded within it that the chief end of man was to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We were made to praise God. We were made to bring glory to his name. Now at times, I have to admit, we do not do that very well. Yet God longs for his people to be in his presence, praising his name. And the psalmist recognizes this. He wanted to praise the Lord. But what were his reasons? What were the things that were on his mind that made him come before God and write these words of praise and encourage people to be together as a worshipping family? A very straightforward and simple reason to begin with. He says in verse 1, I love the Lord. He loves the Lord, and because he loves the Lord, he wants to praise him. I love my wife, and because I love my wife, I want to tell her, and so I do often. Because I love my wife, I want to show her that. And so from time to time, I might be the old romantic that goes and buys flowers. Or I might, as we did on Monday, take her out for her lunch. I do this because I love her. Because she loves me, not because of anything else. And so the psalmist says he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord for who he is. And that's why he wants to praise him. And indeed, that's why he wants to praise him often. He loves the Lord for who he is. But he also loves the Lord for what he has done. David recognizes that he is a sinner who has been saved by grace. He did things wrong. Many things wrong. And we might touch on some of those this morning. But through those experiences, he has come to realize that he loves the Lord and that he wants to worship him. And what a joy to love the Lord. We often find in life that when we show love to someone, they might not return that love. But the Lord does more than return our love though. The Lord was the one who first loved us. So in some sense, I suppose we are the ones who are returning his love. 1 John 4:19 reminds us that we love because he first loved us. A few verses before that, in verse 10 of 1 John 4, this is love, writes John, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loved us first, and he continues to love us, and he will do forever. Paul, writing to the Romans in 8:35, asks, who shall separate us from the love of God? And as he offers up things that possibly could separate us, he goes on to conclude, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. God loved us first. He loves us still today, and he will love us still tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after. What an amazing thought. And so the psalmist says, we worship God now because he loves us and because we love him. The second reason for worshipping the Lord shows his love for us and gives us more reason why we love him as well as worship him. The Lord listened. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The psalmist David had been in trouble, and the Lord listened to his cry. More than once that had happened to him, and each time the Lord had listened to him and heard him and come to help him. The great thing about our God is that he listens to his children. We do not pray to some distant, faraway God. We pray to a God who is personal, a God who is real, a God who delights in hearing his children and listening to them. David had experienced this before in his life. Back in Psalm 40 verse 1 he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. In Psalm 65 he writes, praise awaits you, O God, in Zion, O you who hear prayer. O you who hear prayer. To you all men will come. And in Psalm 66, but surely God has listened and heard my voice in prayer. And what about the Lord speaking to Jeremiah? In Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The Lord hears us and listens to us. And listening involves being active. In listening he hears and he understands what is going on. In listening he hears the tone of our voice, the worry, the panic, the fear, the distress, the joy, the sorrow, the happiness, the pain. And for the psalmist, this was a wonderful help and encouragement. The Lord listened to him. He heard him when he was in trouble, and he helped him out. That's why the psalmist wants to worship the Lord. Why he encourages the whole community of God's people to be a worshipping family. Let us be reassured, friends, that the Lord listens to us as well. He listens to the sinner's first prayer for forgiveness, repenting and believing in Jesus Christ. And he goes on listening forevermore. He hears us when we share our thoughts, our cares and our concerns with him. He hears us when we sing and shout our songs of praise and adoration. He listens to us. Remember the words of that favourite old hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Reasons to worship God. We love him. And he listened to us. He listens to us. And more than that for the psalmist, and indeed more than that for each one of us, the Lord lifted and the Lord liberated. The Lord specializes in lifting the fallen and helping the weak. He specializes in reaching down to lost sinners and drawing them back into himself. He specializes in dealing with those who are without hope and those who feel unloved and uncared for. David uses very vivid language to help us understand this, to remind us of the struggles he himself went through. And since he has come through it with the Lord's help, he now wants to worship the Lord, and he longs for the people of Israel to be doing the same, that they might be a worshipping family, meeting with God to praise and to honour him. David says in verse 3 and following, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. David was struggling with guilt and fear. He had sinned against God and he has let him down time and time and time again. One of the best examples, one of the most quoted examples of David letting God down, sinning against him and feeling the guilt, was over the beauty of Bathsheba. We remember that, don't we? How he saw Bathsheba bathing one night and he went and he slept with her. Then he tried to cover up her pregnancy by bringing her husband Uriah back from the battlefield. But then Uriah wouldn't sleep with her. And so he sent him back to the battlefield and David said to his men, put him out right in front of everybody here. Knowing fine well that that place in the battlefield is not a place to be, that Uriah would be killed. And so David was ridden by the guilt of this. And he shows us that in that beautiful plea for forgiveness, which is Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. David had done other things which made him feel guilty. And he has, I think, at times felt depressed and discouraged. He was overcome by sorrow and trouble. And he felt the anguish of death in front of him. It was a dark, dark place for him. And he was struggling. He was almost down and out. And when he cried to the Lord, and then the Lord heard him, what an amazing thing that was for him. Friends, it doesn't matter how dark you think everything is, how far you think you have fallen, how deep the pit you think you are in, none is too far, none is too deep, none is too dark for our God not to see you, not to hear you, not to reach down and pick you up and save you. David was lifted up from the stupor he was in. How many times, as we look back over our lives, have we seen the Lord lift us up? He does it time and time again. But more than simply lift David up, he liberated him. Verse 8, for you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord has not only lifted him, but he has freed him as well. The psalmist has been set free from the chains that bound him and the darkness that surrounded him. Friends, the Lord does the same for you and for me. He has done it for us in the sense of our sins. We were lost in our sins and transgressions. There was no way out for us. There was nothing we could do. We had rebelled against God. We had chosen not to be his friends. And sin brings with it a punishment. We are heading for death. But Jesus saved us. He came and lived among us. And then he died on a cross to redeem us and to set us free from the chains of the evil one and from the bondage of sin. The Lord has lifted us up from the pit of sin. He has freed us from the darkness of sin that we might walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. And he does the same for us when we fall, when we are struggling with anguish, when we are overcome by struggles and troubles. He is there to lift us up. He is there to liberate us. What more reason then? What more reason then do we have and need to worship the Lord? We worship him for we love him. We worship him for he listens to us. We worship him for he lifts us up and he liberates us. He frees us. He has saved us and redeemed us. He has assured of us of a place in heaven with him forever. He has walked beside us. He has kept us going. He has carried us when we are too weak. He has restored us when we have slipped. David's desire was to worship the Lord. And he longed for the people to be a worshipping family. We too, I pray and hope, want to be a worshipping family, praising our God forever. Those are the reasons for worshipping and praising our God. But what about the results? For something happens when our focus is on God, and when we are worshipping him and giving him praise and honour, something happens. And I don't simply mean we feel happy for we're singing great songs and feel like we've a slice of heaven here in Cornton Baptist Church this morning, although inevitably we do from time to time feel that. We felt it last Sunday night as we gathered, and as Bob and the musicians led us in praise of our God, we felt like it was a slice of heaven. When we are worshipping God in spirit and in truth, and when our focus is on him and we are mindful of all he has done, we will live right. David said in verse 9 that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then in verse 14, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. He was conscious as he worshipped the Lord that he wanted to live properly before him. He had failed him and he knew it. He had failed him and deserved the punishment, but the Lord had saved him. And his worship of God was leading him to want to live God's ways and to do God's bidding. He wanted to get it right now. No more pretense. No more trying to do it on his own. No more seeking his own glory. He wanted to live for God. He wanted to bring praise and glory and honour to him. And he recognised his place in all of that as well. Notice verse 16. O Lord, truly I am your servant. He wants to live for the Lord and he wants to live right. Later on in the New Testament, Paul would recognise this in Philippians 1:27, where he says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. The call is to walk with God. We thought something of that last weekend as we thought of the Christian manifesto, as Mike had challenged the people to walk humbly before their God. In walking humbly, they were to act justly and they were to love mercy. That's what it is to live right in this world. And through our genuine worship of God, recognizing all he has done for us, we will want to live right as well. We will want to follow God's leading and God's guiding. We will want to desire to be in his word, to be reading it, to be learning from it. We will feel compassion for others and seek to help them in their struggles and their difficulties. Our worship will lead to right living. And right living will lead to demonstrating God's love in action in the community of Corinth. The psalmist goes on to say that another result of worshipping God in spirit and in truth is that we will lift prayers. We will lift prayers of praise, of worship, of adoration, of thanksgiving to our God. We will be so bowled over by his love, by his grace, by his mercy, and all the other characteristics of God we see, that we will want to lift up holy hands in prayer. The psalmist says later in Psalm 134, praise the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord who minister by night within the sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. And that will be our desire as well when we see the greatness of God and as we worship him. David got this sorted now in Psalm 116 as we read in verses 13 and 17 that he will lift up the cup of salvation, that he will sacrifice a thank offering and then call upon the name of the Lord. He recognizes his gratefulness to God. He wants to call on his name. He wants to lift praise to that name. Of course, lifting and in lifting prayer, we also lift the needs of other people as well. And we will touch on that another week as we consider our call to be a praying people as well. As we lift up prayers of praise, people around us will see and will hear. And they will be drawn to ask questions. And more importantly, they will be drawn to our God. Jesus himself said, I, when I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself. In one sense, all we need to do is to lift high the name of Jesus in prayer and in praise, and he will draw them unto himself. That doesn't negate us from going out and lifting that name high in this community as we do things, so just let me say. And of course, all of that leads to the last result the psalmist recognises here in this psalm. He suggests that we will lavishly praise our God now and the here and now. In verse 17, David says he will drink, he will sacrifice a thank offering to the Lord. And he goes on to say that he will fulfill his vows to the Lord in the presence and the view of all the people. He wants to encourage everybody with that final phrase, praise the Lord. For David, he has remembered again the Lord's goodness and compassion. He has recalled how the Lord lifted him up and how the Lord freed him. How the Lord has protected him and guided him. How the Lord has listened to him. And how he now loves the Lord with all of his heart, mind, soul and being. And all he can do now, with this in mind, is lavishly praise his God. And he longs for everyone to see and know what he is doing. He is praising his God. He is thanking him for his goodness and his faithfulness. And his hope is that others will see and be drawn to praise God for themselves. Our opening, official opening weekend last week, was a great celebration of God's goodness and faithfulness to us as a church. But it was also a great witness to others around. They saw us praising God and thanking him for all he has done. They heard our extravagant worship and praise. They saw this worshipping family here. meeting with God to praise and honour him. They saw our lavish praise and it touched their hearts. People have said to me all week long outside, talking about the weekend, how great it was, how happy we all seemed, how wonderful the building was, and how great our service had been. They had been glad to be here, worshipping God with us. Oh, that they might come back in more often. Our vision then, as a fellowship, is that we will demonstrate God's love in action in the community of Cornton. In order to do that, we are committed to being a worshipping family, meeting with God to praise and to honour him. The psalmist reminds us what worship is all about in Psalm 116, and I encourage you to go home and to read it over again, to check what you've heard this morning, what we've learned today, and to see that it's right. And then to see what impact that has upon our lives individually and collectively. The psalmist's words strike a chord in our hearts, and hopefully we too are drawn to worship and to praise. The psalmist recognised the reasons for praise. He loved the Lord first and foremost, and we would echo those words and that commitment this morning. He remembered that the Lord listened to his cries, and that the Lord then lifted him up and liberated him. The Lord has done the same for each one of us, friends. He heard our cries as sinners. Even when we may not have been sure what we were saying or asking for, he came to us and he lifted us up from the despairs of darkness and he liberated us from the bondage of sin. The results of worshipping God and remembering this through the psalmist to live right, to walk humbly with his God, to act justly and to love mercy. He was also drawn to lift prayers, thanking God for his goodness, and to lavishly praise his God. And we remember how the Lord has saved us. We too then will be drawn to do likewise, to worship him. And then as we gather as a worshipping family, meeting with God to praise and to honour him, the community will see and they will realise how great our God is, and hopefully, we pray, will be drawn to worship him themselves. We demonstrate his love firstly through being a worshipping family. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminders in it of your goodness, of your greatness, of your faithfulness, of your mercy and your love. We thank you for the reminders from the psalmist even this morning of what you have saved us from, how you have lifted us up from the darkness and the doom and the despair, how you have set our feet back on the right path. Father God, we thank you that we've been reminded of your love for us, the fact that you listen to us and help us. Father God, help us to be a people who are like the psalmist, who then have results of our praise. For we will live right before you. We will lift your name on high. We will lift our prayers to you. And then, Father God, we will lavishly praise you. We thank you that as we gather together, we worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for that opportunity we have of being here to worship and to praise you and your mighty name. Father God, help us to be a worshipping family, meeting with you to bring praise and honour to your name. And Father God, how we pray that as we worship you in that way, in that manner, that Father God, others outside might see and might be drawn in to see what's going on, to see what it's all about, and to see for themselves how great is our God. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks, and all the honour now as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.